This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Welcome to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. And I'm Kurt, and I'm your host this evening. And I've got some very lovely people in the studio with me. Hi, guys.
Hey, Kurt.
Hi.
Hi. So we've got Megan, ML, and Vicky Sinnott. And we've got Chris on panel, so it's a full studio tonight. It's packed in here.
We are absolutely chocked tonight.
We're like sardines, aren't we, in the studio?
Sounds like fun.
We've got Vicky Sinnott here, and Vicky is a psychologist based in Melbourne.
Yep.
And so, Vicky, tell us a little bit about your specialties in psychology.
Yeah, okay. So I'm a psychologist in private practice in Richmond, inner city Melbourne. And I work a lot with sex and gender, diverse people, people with sexualities, diverse sexualities and diverse relationships. So polyamorous people, people in different types of relationships. And I have an interest in people who have a history of trauma.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking a lot about, you know, the sorts of things that your clients come to you and tell you, and the sorts of things that trans people face in social challenges or any sorts of challenges, trauma. So I've got ML and Megan joining us tonight, and you would have heard ML and Megan last week.
Yes.
And you guys had fun, didn't you?
We had a great time when we decided to come back.
Excellent. You're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and I'm Kurt, and I'm your host, and we've got Megan, ML, and Vicky Sinnott in the studio. Now, Vicky, when you came in the studio before, ML sort of looked at you and went, I think I recognise you. And then eventually ML worked it out. It was quite an interesting story, ML.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. We were thinking that we might have just seen each other passing in the shops or something like that, but it turned out to be a lot more significant than that. We met, I'm 40 now, I don't mind saying. Mm-hmm. And no,
that's
I'm
okay.
quite
for
cool
your
with
pain.
That. Yeah. I met Vicky when I was 17 years old, when I ran away from home, and I didn't have any friends or any support or anything. So I ended up in living in a bedsit flat in St Kilda, which was part of a youth initiative thing for homeless youth. Mm-hmm. And I got recommended to go to the Flinders Street services where Vicky was working, and I met her there, and it's amazing that I could remember, because it's not unusual though, because Vicky had this really amazing impact on my life, on me and my life. I always remember whenever I get stressed out the list that Vicky gave me when I met her, of all the different things that I could do, the tools that I could use to de-stress, be more relaxed, because I used to have panic attacks all the time, and Vicky just sat and listened to all of my problems, and I really did have a traumatic childhood, and just really gently and with lots of care, she just sat down and listened, and showed, with her words and her actions, showed me my worth. And this is hard.
Yeah. I think we're going to start crying. This is just beautiful. Yeah.
It was a really big deal, and I do remember crying a lot in your office. But Vicky was able to show me that I, unlike my parents, who I get along with now, but Vicky was able to show me that I was worth something, and that I was able to be strong enough to get through all of this.
Yeah.
I'm grateful. Thank you.
You're most welcome.
That's a really amazing story. It's a really beautiful thing. And it's so great that you guys have been reunited.
And, it's amazing.
And that you can thank Vicky for the great support that she gave you.
And to think that we were actually thinking that we bumped into each other in shopping
centres.
Yeah.
Not that we were the same age.
Yeah, maybe at a nightclub or something.
Yeah.
So, Vicky, was that at Flinders Street? Was that one of your first gigs?
Yeah, in some ways it was. It was some time ago.
Yeah.
At a place called the Action Centre, which mm-hmm. is still providing lots and lots of really good services to sex and gender diverse people. Mm. So it works a lot with young people who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, trans identified. I managed that service many years ago and ran some support groups for queer young people.
Mm-hmm.
Did a lot of counselling work with trans identified people as well, which was quite some time ago. So it was in the early days.
Mm. Yeah. And you did a bit of work with HIV in the 80s.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's all...
You're trying to date me here, Kurt.
You've done heaps, and it's amazing that you were working back when ML was 17 and, you know... Yeah, I really admire that. I've sort of been thinking myself it would be nice to get into counselling, getting mm-hmm. into helping gender diverse yep. and the queer community.
Sure.
But there is, you're running a queer therapies group.
Well, one of the challenges for queer people in finding sensitive and appropriate therapists is how do you actually find who's out there? And so there are a bunch of us, myself and a colleague, run a group for therapists who work with GLBTI people. Mm-hmm. We meet on a 6-weekly basis, so that as therapists we come together and share our thoughts and experiences and skills and research and all of those sorts of things as a way of trying to keep up to date with what's happening in the communities, what's happening in research, what's happening in our own practice.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So to get, as a trans person, to get on hormones, you have to see a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not a psychiatrist.
No.
But so what would be the difference? How do you help people compared to a psychiatrist, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. It's a really good question. I think there's a difference between assessment, which is mm-hmm. I think what you're talking about. When
that
somebody
is, yeah.
seeks to mm. access hormones,
yes.
there's usually an informed consent, mental health assessment
yes.
done. So it's really focused around how's your mental health? Are there any other mental illnesses that could be impacting on the way you identify and mm-hmm. the way that you're able to give informed consent for the medical processes that mm-hmm. are to follow? So hormones and surgery, if that's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very structured assessment process. So there's lots of, you know, questionnaires. There's a fairly structured sort of history taking that people do.
Mm.
Currently in Melbourne, that's done by psychiatrists. And
yep.
there are about 4 psychiatrists who are working, doing this sort of work.
Mm-hmm.
Only 4.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's both a specialised field, but it's also a controversial field in some mm-hmm. ways.
Well,
yep.
I know that when I was actually looking at seeing a psychiatrist, I had a fair wait before mm-hmm. I could actually go and talk. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
so yeah, it's actually quite a demand for psychiatrists out there who actually do specialise in gender issues.
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely.
So one of the things that a couple of those psychiatrists are doing is working with clinical psychologists, who are specialist psychologists that work in assessment, to develop their skills to be able to do that assessment, so the waiting times will actually decrease. I mean, that's just starting at the moment, so there'll be quite a bit of work to do in developing the protocol and the standardisation. I mean, one of the things that we don't do well in Australia is that we don't do much research and record keeping, and, you know, we don't have longitudinal surveys that say people who have transitioned actually do better, those sorts of things.
Yeah.
So all of that hopefully will get discussed in this group, and there'll be a range of clinical psychologists who will be available to do informed consent assessment, for want of a better word, around hormone treatment initiation. That is quite different to therapy or counselling, which is very much about who am I, how do I know myself, what are the patterns that I might be aware of or not aware of, how do I want to change those. And it's a much more introspective process, yeah? It's a much more, what does this mean for me?
Mm.
And it might have meant something different a couple of years ago, but now it means this.
Mm.
How do I negotiate that? How do I tell people that? How do I manage my world?
So there's so many challenges like issues around coming out, relationships and emotions and hormones, and I'd really like to talk about that. You're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and I'm Kurt, and I've got Megan, ML and Vicky Sinnott in the studio. And Vicky, we were just sort of getting into the issues around coming out and relationships and just general issues that trans people would face.
Yeah, so anxiety and depression certainly affect Australians at quite high proportions. So trans people would experience anxiety and depression just like the rest of Australians. Mm. We all can battle with higher or lower degrees of anxiety and depression. Sometimes that's really tricky for people to believe that there's something that can help. So it's really important for people to know that there's lots of resources available online, there's lots of supports available through individual counselling or groups or programs. So they're some of the issues. But trans-related specific or gender-related sort of specific issues are about how do I actually deal with this? How do I name it? How do I tell people this is what's going on for me and help it make sense to partners, family, friends, employers, lovers, children, all of that sort of stuff. So it's a big step.
Well, the whole coming out thing is such a difficult thing to do. And what I found in my case is really just the whole self-acceptance of my own sort of gender-related issues. And that's, like, I found that was really, really confronting. And you live in a closet for so long and so many years, then all of a sudden, you know, anxiety and depression and just, it just gets you. And you, at some point in time, you've got to level with yourself and say, okay, let's talk about this now. Let's start to figure out what's really going on. But really accepting, like, your own gender identity and then actually talking to a counsellor about that or a psychologist and then starting to work through the whole, okay, what does this mean for me? Do I transition? Do I not transition? How do I treat it? What's the most appropriate way? And it's such a difficult thing to really confront and start to work with. And it's like once you start to accept it and really move on, I found first starting to come out was difficult. But it's like once you do it, and I'd say it's the same for everyone who's actually had to come out, it's like a huge weight would just come off your shoulders once you start to talk to people about it. It's just,
it's a relief, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a relief. Like, absolutely.
I have a little bit different because I'm not binary to binary, but so it started off being a relief and then a little bit lonely for a bit, but now it's I'm having a second coming out with my gender non-conforming identity. So yeah, and it's good the second time too, so because the trans community is starting to open up a little bit more in their understanding of
gender diverse and non-binary.
Yeah.
Well, that's what that little asterisk next to the trans is, isn't it?
It's like it's you're somewhere within that sort of sphere, that spectrum.
Gender diverse.
Yes, we are very diverse.
It's a challenging one to try and find words to actually collectively describe respectfully that diversity, you know, binary to non-binary, trans man, trans masculine, woman, woman with transsexual history. Oh, there's such diversity and such tension around that because it is such a powerful experience.
Exactly. And like, you know, for example, with Facebook, I think you've got up to like 51 different definitions as to what you can classify your gender as now, if you select like the US English or something like that. But, you know, it's such a diverse thing. But the problem is for some people, it's such a confronting thing. They don't know what to do with it. And it can be a situation where people, it's actually, it can really become such a life-threatening situation for some people with the whole notion of really being able to accept your gender, or even face the idea of actually transitioning with the family environment or what the, you know, the life that you've got and built around you. And that can be quite a difficult thing for some people to accept it and sort of move through. And there's other pressures associated with that as well. So it is such a huge thing to confront and try and sort of deal with. It's really quite hard.
Is that something you can help people with in your practice?
Well, yeah, that's certainly some of the things that people want to explore and understand. And I think one of the things that's changing is that, Kurt, you were sort of saying the community's opening up. ML, I think you said that too. You know, it's no longer a binary to binary. It is about the diversity, the rainbow. But then what we've got to do is also think about how do we actually then describe that? How do we educate not only our partners and families and friends and employers, but the community at large? You know, that's a real challenge.
Yeah, I mean, because it's such a normal thing that, you know, a baby is born, and if it's got girl parts, then it's given a pink blanket. And that's just not even thought of. It's just automatic. And then that baby's going to have kids and do that to their baby. And it's just this automatic heteronormative.
It's a social construct that we've actually got to live with, because you're one or the other.
Yeah.
And that's just how it's seen. Whereas if you're intersex or something like that, well, where do you fit into the spectrum? It's just like...
You don't.
Yeah, exactly. And look, it's really difficult if you fall into that circumstance or into that situation with being intersex. You know, what are you? Where are you? And, you know, in cases, parents have to make a decision as to whether the child is actually surgically altered to become either male or female, just so it can fit that social construct, which could be to the detriment of the child.
I think we need to be a bit careful, given how much advocacy and change has happened around intersex babies born with an intersex condition. Surgery doesn't just happen like it once did many decades ago. And I'm not trying to minimise the significance of that. You know, there's very invasive surgeries and, you know, very socially constructed sort of expectations of is this too big or too small, and do we build and do we not build, and all of those sorts of ideas, which is different. You know, surgery is now considered quite differently in that area. I think, though, the connection to gender-diverse people is this idea that transition is from A to B. You know, so, you know, you go and see a GP, you go and speak to a psychiatrist, you get assessed, you start hormones, you do hormones, you have surgery, and then you're done. Nice. And, in fact, it's not a linear progress at all. In fact, there are multiple ways that those things can be used and not used, but also ways that people might actually need to explore their own gender identity. So it's actually not a straight line. It's quite bent.
It's queer.
It's very queer. Quite appropriate.
Quite appropriate. Emma, were you going
to
say something?
I was going to not go and see a GP about my gender identity, but just by chance last week while I was working at the conference, I just happened to meet one of the doctors, and I told her my gender identity, and she said, "I've seen people like yourself, gender non-conforming. So I'm female to androgynous transitioning." And she went, she gave me the examples, and I just kind of had this massive relief, and I went, "Can I book in to see you?" So I'm gonna,
it's like you're not alone.
I'm going to see her this week at the gender clinic and have a really big talk that's probably going to make me feel a whole lot better about myself. You know, and say, yeah, and it's, but if that didn't happen by chance, there's a possibility I may never have done it, and because I'm not binary to binary, and I was just too nervous to talk about myself, but.
And I think there's a lot of confusion or a lot of mixed messages across the community about there being support, there not being support, or there are hoops that you need to jump to go through to do this, and this is how you play the game. But I think there is a lot of general practitioners, therapists, psychiatrists, others who are actually not rigid in terms of gender expectations.
You're on Trans Positions on Joy 94.9, and that was ML's choice of song, Katy Perry, Unconditionally.
Yeah.
And Megan, you chose the song before that, which was U2, Streets With No Name.
I know. I'm actually like a really big U2 fan. I actually love a lot of their music. But I did choose that song for a reason, because being trans, you like almost navigating streets which have no name. And I thought, like, it's like you don't know where you're going being trans. Where do you go? How do you find way? And then you talk to people like Vicky, and you start to get some names to those kinds of roads. But I thought it was really quite fitting, because to me that's a song that I've always loved and always identified with to a certain extent. So there you go. That was my choice.
Lovely. Lovely. And ML, do you have a reason why you chose Katy Perry?
Yeah, a couple of reasons. One, I was saying that I thought it was like a trans anthem, where we kind of not just want to be accepted unconditionally by the greater society, but also we need to look inward within our trans community and accept all of our differences within the community as well. And it's also, can I mention Opening Doors? I'm one of the participants in the Opening Doors leadership program, and you have to choose a song to be played during your graduation.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose unconditional, see. Because I also did a Bachelor of Theology, and that was always my thing in my course, the theme of my studies. I always researched, you know, like my LGBTI research paper was on if our God is an all-loving God and omni-everything, then we need to understand that the Hebrew and the Greek and really investigate. I was ready not to be Christian anymore if the Hebrew and the Greek really did say anything against homosexuality, because that is conditional and that's rubbish. So, and I've discovered that God's love really was unconditional, and God does love everybody just the way we are, and all of us are created in God's image no matter what. So, unconditionally.
Nice, nice. Very good. I like it. Now, before we were outside talking about different words to be using for trans people or even gay people, there's some words like fag and tranny, and they might sound awful, and I'm saying it, it's past 9 o'clock, everybody. It's all right.
No, Kurt, no, don't say that.
We're just a bit nervous.
We're offended, no.
This is live. So, I mean, do trans people have the right to tell people what to say and what comes out of their mouth? You know, like should we be offended by the word tranny? It's just a shortened word of,
you know, transgender. I think when I look at the word tranny, I might use it when I'm talking to someone that I know and understands the application or the context and way in which I'm using the word. But when I'm actually using it in a wide audience, well, first of all, I wouldn't use it in a wide audience because I don't know what someone else is actually going to take out of that word and whether they think it's actually acceptable to go and use that word, because it is a slur. And I don't like slurs being sort of thrown my way, because I could take offence to it. So I don't want general society to sort of say, yeah, okay, well, Megan's gone and used it. It's okay for Megan to go and sort of say it. Okay, I'm going to say it as well. It's not okay. But I think it also does depend upon the context in which it's actually used as well.
Mm. There's also getting pronouns right. And so, Vicky, I want to ask you.
I think ML's going to hit me now.
Oh, yeah. But Vicky, I mean, you know, do people come to you and say, I don't know how to correct someone if they get my pronoun wrong?
Absolutely. That's a really daily experience for many gender diverse people. How do you actually say, please use this pronoun?
Yeah.
He, she, ze, whatever it might be, they.
Mm-hmm.
And when people don't actually use it, how do you actually not bark back the correction? How do you bark back the correction if you want to bark? So I think it's a real challenge. How do you actually constantly remind people, no, actually, you mean Vicky, not Victor, you know?
Yes.
Like, this is my name, this is my pronoun. And do that with patience. And it's really, really hard. So we do talk a lot about how do you actually do that, whether or not if it's in a workplace, how do you actually make it clear? How does your employer make it clear to your colleagues that that's not acceptable? I think there's an issue of intent too, Megan. I think you were sort of talking about
absolutely
that when you were talking about your use of language.
Exactly.
It's about how is the word used. Is it
the context?
Oops, sorry, I've forgotten. Or is it a I'm going to ignore your request?
Yeah.
And I'm just going to offend everyone because I can.
I had it today in a restaurant, and I'd love to know how to deal with that, because you feel really disempowered when somebody insists on calling you something that you don't feel like you are. And
or even if you're feeling like something one day and somebody calls you the opposite, then you start questioning everything, the clothes you're wearing, everything.
Well, it's actually really funny because I normally do a bit of flying for my daytime job, and very early in my transition, I had issues with a certain airline. Every time I jumped on the plane, they'd greet me as sir or mister, and I found that really, really hard. And I always used to get to a situation before I'd actually board the plane, I'd have my boarding pass and I'd go and cross out where it says Mr. or anything else, which was actually identifying gender, because for me, just when you're boarding a plane, it actually causes, for me, a lot of issues. It's just like, no, I don't identify with that. It just really freaks you
off.
Yeah, it throws you right off. So I think if you go to the effort of actually crossing out, saying, I'm not Mr. or Miss or Ms. or whatever, you know.
To be honest, Megan, I think if someone called you Mr. now, they would look like the idiot.
Yeah. it's a bit like that now.
It is, yeah.
The wonders of hormones, I love this stuff.
It's just as people really want to put people into boxes. I went into
social construct.
I went into Sexyland once to have a look at some stuff.
Did you?
Yeah, and I wanted to have a look at some spare parts.
And we're not going to go
indoor,
there.
Indoor rock climbing stuff. And,
nice.
And the woman was like, she just was so relieved when she thought she'd worked out my gender. And I was like, no. I'm glad you feel really comfortable now, but, you know, my gender's not my not my genitals. It's between my ears.
Yeah, it's what's upstairs.
You know, so, yeah, that was bizarre and funny. But yeah. You have to have patience, as you say, and grace, and just walk gently with people.
Or acknowledge that sometimes we don't have grace and we don't have patience, and sometimes we do get really annoyed with people and want to and respond really strongly. And sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
Sometimes we need to repair the relationship afterwards. Sometimes we don't care about repairing the relationship afterwards. All of those things are possible. I think it's important that we don't set up a this is the right way to do it and this is the wrong way to do it. But it is about how am I going to do it? What fits for me?
You know, a really good point.
Because what fits for me isn't going to necessarily fit for the other person. So it's about being able to have conversation with others. How have you done it? Is it a letter? Is it a, you know?
Do you think it's also a matter of like making the other person actually feel comfortable with understanding and also recognising your gender as well and what it means to them?
I think the whole issue of requesting to be referred in a particular way, whether it's a name or a pronoun, really brings up issues of how much education do I have to do to make you actually respond to me in the way that I'd like you to. And in most circumstances, if I was to meet somebody and say, my name's Vicky, that would pretty much be all I'd need to do, rather than, my name's Vicky, I actually really identify as blah, 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 you know, whatever that might be. So I think there's a question in there about how much education do trans people want to do every single day with every single interaction with, no, I'm sorry, customer service person, you haven't got it right. You know,
here's a website.
You know,
yeah. Here's a website. You know.
Some references.
Go take a look at this.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually really funny. I have telemarketer callers actually calling me at home, and it's just like, oh, are you Mr. what so-and-so? I'm like, no. You can call me Ms., but no, not Mr.
Yeah. And there are also legal implications of all of this. Like, boarding passes have to marry with your identity documents because of all of the post-terrorist sort of needs and
stuff.
Yeah, so we need to be careful what we do so that we don't put ourselves, people don't put themselves in situations where they might have legal consequences of the ways that you assert your gender. Yeah.
That's right. Now, we have had some messages in, one from Jim Hyde saying it's a great discussion tonight, and one from Andrew McNamara, who we're all familiar with from Bent TV, and he says, hey, Hot Blondie, and hi, ML, and hi, other person, and enjoying the show, and you too, Andy from Footscray and Bent TV.
Yeah, so who's Hot Blondie?
It could be both of us.
It could be indeed.
I think it's you, Megan, unfortunately.
No, it must be you, Kim.
You're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and that was Journey. Don't Stop Believing. Great song. And it was on Glee, which is Chris's favourite. So, and Vicky was just telling us that she likes Glee too. So if you like Glee, tell us if you like Glee. SMS 0427 Joy 949.
Or you can phone 1300 Joy 949.
Or email us on air@joy.org.au.
And you can also visit the website joy.org.au, and we will be having recent podcasts up shortly because a lot of you have been asking about them, and there's been some really great shows that last week was great. that need to be podcasts because they're very special, and I want them to be on the Joy website forever.
Absolutely.
Now, Vicky, you said before that coming out is a tough one, and ML, you were saying coming out as gender diverse is kind of a little bit tougher than coming out as just a trans man because it's not the gender binary and it's not as well known.
I find that when I, because people on some really big forums on Facebook that are going from binary to binary, they will they're happily able to document their transition, and everybody, like, you know, there'll be between 20 and 50 likes for their post and all that stuff, and
for their before and after,
that sort of thing, or how they're going on hormones at the time and stuff, and that's really nice. And in a way, it's encouraging for me, but because I'm not quite binary to binary, I know that through the small things that I've said about myself, not completely coming out, but just saying a little bit about myself, has been quite confronting for some people, and they just stay silent. And then there'll just be like a small handful of really supportive people that will just say something. And I get that, and I'm patient, and that's fine. I get that I'm confronting, and people like me are confronting. And yeah, as I was just saying before off air, that I did sort of come out, but I didn't feel comfortable to do that on the really big forum. I did it in a really small support group, and that went down really well. And that was really important for me to be able to say something about my gender identity as it is, because otherwise I'm alone in it, and I can't. That's not okay, really, for me to just sit there and go. And because I have issues.
We all have issues.
And we do. And but there's not as much of a platform and an area for me to just comfortably sit there and go, well, this is what I am, you know.
Exactly.
I do know that there are other people like me out there, but they're extremely shy as well, you know. And so when they do meet me, I go and have coffees with lots of people, and they're like, it's so refreshing to meet you and be able to have this conversation, you know. Because when you go from binary to binary, you kind of say, okay, I don't like all these parts of my body, I don't want to change all these parts of my body. But people like myself say, well, actually, I'm really comfortable with this part of my body, but I'm really not okay with this part of my body. And it's not, it's part of, I don't know, it's just a...
It's finding you.
Yeah.
I know there are quite a lot of people who identify as lesbian, and they have chest surgery. They don't do anything about hormones, but they just feel comfortable having a flat chest. And but they still identify as female and lesbian. So it really, it all depends on you and who you are. I myself identify as masculine, and I'm in the binary, I would say that. And I really enjoy that, and that's exactly what I want. And if other people can find what I found for me, then... that's why not, then that's great, and I'm totally happy to support that, and I think most people would. I think most people would support it. And the other thing, Vicky, you were saying, is it's hard to educate people when you're coming out and sort of let them know that it's gender dysphoria, and you know, being transgender is a thing. Because I remember when I told my mum that I wanted to transition, she went and Googled sex change and then got all these horrible pictures of surgeries and weird stuff, and it was completely the wrong thing to Google. And she also Googled another one. She said, I've read a fact that 1 in 3 trans people commit suicide. And I said, well, the reason for that is not because they're transgender, it's because of the negative stigmas put on transgender people. And it's because of people like my mother who abandon their children because they're transgender. And so it's really, how do you stop someone from just going to Google and just typing in what they think it's called?
You don't. I mean, we none of us can control what other people do. Though what we can do is when we disclose whatever it is that we're disclosing, we do it at a place and time where we've got the resources to be able to guide the other. Which often the first time GLBTI folk come out, or GLBT people come out, often we don't have those resources to us. It's sort of like, oh my God, you know, I'm just thinking about this, or I've just got a name, I've just found out that there is this thing that exists, and it feels
is what
like
I identify
it,
with.
It fits for me, you know, that sort of stuff. So beyond the people Googling weird things and getting even weirder websites, because you're certainly, your mother would have been inundated.
She would have been shocked.
Yeah.
Freaking out.
So I think providing people with reliable sources of information, if it's a formal disclosure, is a really good thing, you know. But carrying around business cards that say, "Hi, you've got my pronoun wrong. Here's a website."
Oh, what a great idea!
That's a good one, actually. I think I should do that.
It's awesome.
and make it red. Here's a red card. You've got it wrong.
Get yourself educated.com.au.
Yeah. And then you can give people the gold star when they get it right.
Yeah. You're out of the same
thing
now. But I
think the other thing about coming out is that when it's a one to the other, binary to binary ML, as you've disclosed or discussed, it sort of makes sense to people. People make sense of it in some way. It's not this, it's not A, it's B. But when you say, well, I was never A and I'm not B either, I'm sort of in between, or I'm a mixture, or I'm both, or I'm neither, people go, what?
How could that be?
What do you mean? How does that work? And so part of disclosure that I think is really hard to manage is the intrusiveness of questions that people often ask, and almost the permission people feel like they have to say, oh, really? So have you had surgery yet? And what bits are you going to change bits aren't you? And it's like, hang on a second. Hi, I'm Vicky. Don't ask me if I have a vagina.
That's
actually one of the confronting things that I found as well. Like, I actually went, I've got my regular barista that I go to. Coffee is my friend. When it's first thing in the morning going to work, I need coffee, because without it, I'm totally lost. I'm totally non-compass. But I've got my barista that I normally go to on a regular basis. And I went to him one day and I said, I'm changing my name. I'm going to be Megan. And he's like, oh, okay. So you're having the operation? And I'm like, oh, hang on, wait, stop. Are you circumcised?
Hadn't had the operation, you know. Well, he just assumed that he knew what was happening.
Yeah, and it's just like, well, hang on, this is something, they call private parts for a reason, because it's private. So it's
you like, become a science project to the person in front of you.
But whether that's just the way that people sort of think that it's okay to ask those kinds of questions, it's not. It's not socially. I don't go around asking people what their bits are normally. I don't expect someone to actually come around and ask me, you're having the chop. Hello, this is my body that I'm talking about. There are things which are private.
Yes.
And
as
I said, private parts. Yes.
I got asked actually a few times, why did you change your name? What was your old name? Why do you need to know?
It's just like, well, this is my name now.
This is my name
you're
now.
You're Kurt, I'm Megan. And it's just like, exactly. Previous names don't matter.
That's right. Yeah. Now, we have had a message in from Tony, and Tony says, great show, guys. Very useful. Regards to Vicky from years back.
Hi, Tony.
And we've also had another message from Andrea, and she's talking about intersex is just so misunderstood. There are too many types. So she's saying, there's just that variety of everyone's different.
Andrea might have also been acknowledging that there are many different types of intersex conditions.
That's
so we use the word intersex, but it actually it's a catch word for a whole range of conditions that people might actually experience.
Whether it's a genetic issue, or whether there's actually something else in terms of the development of the fetus and utero, in terms of things which will occur.
You're listening to Transpositions on Joy at 94.9. And if you are struggling yourself with any trans issues, or just gender diverse issues, or issues just in general, you can call 1800 184 527. And that's the number for QLife. Vicky, what's QLife?
QLife is a national combination of all the gay and lesbian switchboards.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You can also call Lifeline, and I'm sure most people have heard of Lifeline before, 131114. So that's a crisis support line if you're needing to speak to someone. Now, I've had an absolute ball tonight on the show with all you in here.
It's gone too quickly again.
It's gone so quickly.
It actually flies by.
The hour's up already.
No. Can we restart?
I'm sure Sonia from Sci-Fi and Scream next up would have issues. She would shake her head at me and say, oh, Kurt, get out. Thank you, Vicky, for coming along today. I really appreciate it.
You're most welcome.
It's been great chatting with you. And thank you, ML.
You're welcome.
Lovely chatting with you. And we enjoyed Katy Perry.
Yes.
And thanks, Megan, for coming in tonight.
Thank you.
And Chris on the panel. And Jerry
Chris
on the front
saluting.
Desk. Yes. Make sure you jump on the Joy website, joy.org.au, and click on Transpositions, and you can like our Facebook page there and stay updated with all the updates about the new podcasts, because we're going to get podcasts happening.
Come on. We need podcasts.
Yes. It's been great speaking to you tonight. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.